Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, love.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up?
Oh,
it's the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's a Monday, which means this is the Jay Layman Hour. Derek
yes.
Piper, Lante, Jay Layman. How you guys doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing better than last week, guys. I'm telling you right now, I'm better than last week. After Kansas, I was near the edge because that was the bad ball.
Was.
I'm gonna try to spend some positive, even after a 30-13 loss to the Penn State Nittany Lions. I'm going to try to
let's just hope whatever you spin doesn't get intercepted.
that was the line of the day so far.
Are you talking about Fields or are you talking about
I don't want to talk about Fields.
How about how the Bears ran the exact same screenplay two plays in a row? And the guy's
goodness.
Like, wait, I think this is the same play they ran before. And he picks it and runs it back to the one.
Yeah, it's amazing. The defense is like, yeah, that's where he's going to be. All right, I'll take that for a touchdown.
They looked horrible.
Boy. We're going to be in a fight to the finish with you guys for that.
I think so.
Number one pick.
I think it's going to be the Bears. What do you have? Carolina's pick?
Yeah.
Cardinals and Texans. Those four are going to be battling for the one pick. That's terrible, man. The Bears looked horrible. The Cardinals looked unbelievable. And I'm like, what are we doing? Mm. And then we did what the Cardinals do and lost the game. And that was perfect.
Here's what I don't give the NFL. These guys are all professional football players. How much of it is coaching?
I agree.
How much? I mean, these are all pros, guys. These are picked up like first, second round guys, like big time free agents. Like, it's so weird to me that guys, that there's some teams that are just bad. And yet I watched the Atlanta Falcons beat Green Bay. I'm like, how is Atlanta beating? It doesn't make any sense to me. I watched Miami, who now looks like a superstar team, but some does without offense. I'm like, what is going on?
Kyle's over here just smiling. Well, listen, Jay, you played in the NFL. You played college. You played. How much is coaching?
I think it's huge. I think it's a huge, huge. I mean, here's the thing. X's and O's are always more than Jimmy's and Joe's. I mean, Jimmy's and Joe's are always more than X's and O's. But I will tell you what. I think coaching is a huge piece of it. Other than your top three or four superstars that can be a game changer, right?
Fair enough.
There's a ton of role players in the NFL nobody knows about. How much can you get out of those guys? I would make the argument that a guy like Tom Brady didn't have a ton of great receivers, but he made a bunch of role players and offensive linemen look really good, right? Some running backs look really good because they had to deal with Tom Brady's passing game. I mean, you know Illinois football is not playing when we're talking NFL the first 2 minutes of this thing. Man, let's go.
You mentioned coaching and going into Saturday's ball game against number 7 Penn State. We wonder what coaching adjustments and just the ability to get more out of the talent was going to happen for Illinois going into that game. Defensively, I liked what I saw. They had to carry a lot of weight there on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
We'll get into the negative on offense, but what did you see defensively that allowed Illinois to hang in that game for three quarters?
First off, what I liked from a personnel perspective, they said we're going to get the best 11 on the field, whether that's running their 5-1-5 defense, whatever you want to call it. You can call it 5-1-5 if you count the outside linebackers as actual linemen, or you can call it 3-3-5 if you want the outside linebackers as linebackers. But, hey, they're going to put their best guys out there, right? Our best five defensive linemen, our best linebacker. We're a little bit deeper at DB than linebacker. And you know what we're going to do? We are actually going to just say we're going to rush five. You're going to have to block Johnny Newton with a guard, which you were not able to do the whole time. Johnny Newton with Chop Robinson out there, with King, the cornerback, Abdul Carter out there. He was best defensive player on the field. Johnny Newton dominated the point of attack on the goal line, the blocked field goal, pressures that led the game back his sack. I cannot talk enough about the defensive line, but specifically Johnny Noone. I thought we held our own, just talking to Alon before the show, 12 minutes to go in the third quarter, right? And if we score, we're at like the 20, 25-yard line, we throw another pick, right? But if we score, it's only 16-14. And so that was a huge backbreaker. Another backbreaker was this. We block a field goal, go down and score. We get a three and out, and we get a chance to score points before the end of the half. And
that's
we can't
right.
do it, and they give up the one big play. But defensively, hey, they took some big strides. That's why I'm feeling better about stuff other than Kansas. Like, man, we're going to like a hot knife through butter, right? That's the best team on paper I think we'll play all year.
Yeah.
And with all those turnovers in the third quarter, we're right there.
Yep.
Defensively, we're going to be there with people. We're going to make plays. Now, we drop off a ton, guys, after that first D-line goes out. Okay? They wanted to limit Randolph and Newton's plays. They had like 70 snaps. They didn't limit anything because they were trying to stay in that football game, right? What I like, though, is that we had better success stopping the run on early downs. So now we get in second and 10, third and long. A guy like Newton can pin his ears back and say, hey, it's actually I can rush the passer because as a defender, as a D lineman, I have to read if it's run or pass, right? And if I know, hey, it's second and 12 or third and 15, it's probably pass, I can go and use a move on somebody. So I think that made a difference for the D line, being able to stop the run against probably the two best backs they'll see all year in tandem.
Well, and that's the thing. You have a Penn State that has a great offensive line.
Sure.
I mean, a pretty good offensive line.
Oh, it's supposed to be great.
Yeah, a top 15 pick, they think, and two good running backs.
Right.
And Illinois really, again, like you said, they held their own there, and that shocked me a little bit.
Especially first through the first three quarters.
Yes.
And in short yardage and on goal line.
Yep.
And I would say the DBs did better because we got more pressure.
Okay.
And we didn't have – and Drew Aller, that was his first road start around, but he's not as mobile as a guy. We made him take his eyes off of the receivers, try to scramble. Akis and Coleman played better, right?
Yep.
Randolph, I guess, was banged up, still played solid. So, I mean, what I liked is that we contained the big plays for the most part. I mean, guys, there was 21 plays of 10 yards more against Kansas.
Wow.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I mean, it was all over the place.
Matt Bailey out for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Said today, dislocated shoulder, I believe, and he'll have to have surgery on that. You could tell the difference he made just early. I know he got hurt right off the bat, but even when he was in there, it just seemed like he was making a difference. The size alone.
He's a big guy, number
one.
He kind of reminds you of Sydney in the run game, right? No knock on Miles Scott, but the reason Miles Scott wasn't a scholarship player coming out is because his frame is not big.
Yep.
Right? He didn't have the measurables. I'm not saying he's not instinctive. I'm just saying he doesn't have the body that Bailey has, right? Bailey has the body they want for the run fits. He's going to be out. I think Xavier Scott's going to be a player. Never plays a perfect game, but he's aggressive. We got to get higher level player Taz Nicholson and Tyler Strain. We cannot let that. Our corner play has not been anywhere close to what it was last year. And that turns, especially on those drive routes on third and short, we're just not covering people well, right? And so I do believe that the linebackers got exposed the prior week, and so I believe they shifted more to have a nickel or that star position in the game more on passing downs and let our defensive linemen rush. So they made some adjustments. I'll give Aaron Henry credit. Hey, we were hard on Aaron Henry the first 2 weeks. I thought his game plan was really good based on what they've done, based on what they did the prior 2 weeks and what they were able to limit Penn State, the situation they were put in. I thought it was a well-called football game. I give the defense, you know, an A. They did break down there as they got worn down. The offense wasn't helping them with the turnovers.
No.
We hope to see Taz Nicholson. Not that he got abused in that game against Penn State because I don't know that they had the number one receiver. That wasn't really the game plan. Kansas was more of a standout thing. How much is the fact that we hope that he would look like the number one corner and now you kind of have some reservations about that? And maybe just backing in general, I also want to get your thoughts on Clayton Bush as well.
Great question. So I think Taz coming back had the most experience and certainly held his own last year in a loaded defensive backfield.
No doubt.
Right? Even Brett mentioned, the defensive quality went down last year when Taz got banged up with the wrist injury, right? So Taz has got to play better. I think Taz knows that. Taz wants to play better, and I think he's physical at the point of attack. He's a guy that routinely has got a little bit banged up, though. I mean, he's had concussions. So we want him to be healthy. I think Clayton Bush played a lot better. I mean, as far as run safety support and whatnot, I don't think he's as physically talented as, say, a Matt Bailey or maybe even a Xavier Scott. But I think he's a smart, heady player that you're like, okay, this is a guy that knows what he's doing, can fill a lot of gaps. So I think he's a win in the transfer. Listen, you get that many reps, that's a win in the transfer portal for you, right?
Yeah.
He's making some good. There's still a work in progress on the back end. They played a lot better because the defensive line played a lot better, right? And so defense is, hey, what are my best 11? How do I get them out there? What can these guys do and what do they like to do? Yes. And I think we're trying to figure that out. Aaron Henry's trying to figure that out. And the whole staff, I think they did a better job of that.
We start with the positive. It was a 30-13 loss, and the defense played well enough for you to be very competitive in that game, if not have a chance to win it.
Agree.
Unfortunately, the quarterback play, which we have been encouraged by in the previous 2 weeks, was lacking. I mean, you think early in that game, Casey Washington down the sideline that Luke Altmyer missed, right? And then, unfortunately, throws it four times to the Nittany Lions. What went wrong for him on Saturday?
So the first one, Luke will tell you probably.
What went right?
That's probably a good question.
I mean, a shorter answer.
So perspective is, I think this is Luke's fifth overall start, right?
Yeah, fourth, I think.
Fourth or fifth, right? Yeah. I mean, so he has I think that Altmyer has a higher ceiling than DeVito, but he was certainly shorter on experience than Tommy DeVito. And we're seeing that a lot right now, right? And the guy has 7 picks through 3 games. We had 5 all last year, guys.
Right.
Okay, so that's a big difference, all right? The first one, Altmyer was working for Western Union. He was sending telegrams. He telegraphed that thing the whole time. Looked him down, right? Never even saw Abdul-Carter. He wasn't seeing the field. The second one, I would say, wasn't really pressure. Just underthrew Casey Washington, right? The problem is now I'm losing track. Then the third one he underthrew, I believe he underthrew one near in the third quarter.
That was the third one.
And then the fourth one he threw into like 3 guys, right?
Right.
And here's the thing. Your quarterback mentally, I felt like when he threw 2 picks in the first quarter, he didn't respond mentally like he did in the Toledo game. He kind of went in the tank. He's getting hit a lot. Okay, not all his fault. He wasn't able to run because they kind of bottled him up.
They did.
Right? And so that's difficult. I also thought mentally not getting points that first drive, Altmyer slips.
Oh.
Geske jumps off sides. And we're just not able to get, and then we missed the field goal.
Right.
Not able to get points, and they focused on that so much. So I think it's really – and the one that he jumped on, we have a trick play in with Isaiah Williams at quarterback.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of things scripted out. We haven't seen one Barry Lunny game plan play out because we're either too far behind or we got turnovers. Because a good offensive coordinator is going to set them up in the first quarter. You know, oh, let's run the reverse in the first quarter. Let's run a fake reverse in the third quarter.
Yep.
Let's run a fake reverse pass in the fourth quarter. I'm being overly simplistic. We haven't been able to set anything up. It's just like, hey – Fire drill. We worked the whole week on the game plan. Let's throw it out. We're behind by X amount of points.
I know one of my sons, I can't remember which, after we missed
you it. You only have 2, but go ahead.
Right, I know. They kept taking turns sitting by me, and I'm like, I can't remember which ones. But one of them said after Caleb missed that field goal, he's like, that could be the biggest key to the game. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that. We got a lot of time left. But I understood what they meant in terms of you would have gained a lot of positive momentum in terms of getting 3 points there. And I am blaming Caleb. He's got to make a 47-yard field goal. But I'm also blaming, like you said, Geske and Altmyer slipping on that. Let me ask you this. In a game like that, I mean, Altmyer played bad. I mean, he's played well for 2 games. Sure. He played horrible. I still trust him as our quarterback going forward, especially for the next couple of years. I think, in other words, he gives you the best chance to win. But when a quarterback is going through something like that, we always talk about how the quarterbacks get the praise. They're always the one we talk about first. When that is going on where he's just having a game like that, what are you guys on the sidelines doing? I mean, are you literally – like your defense – I know you weren't out there, but you get what I'm saying. You guys, the defense allowed you to stay in that game up until about midway through the third quarter until they just got –
yeah,
they were just worn down, tired.
So what are you saying there? This is a good question because it was strictly forbidden for a defensive player to talk to the offensive huddle on the sideline.
Interesting.
Now, you're not on the huddle. You're not on the sideline a lot during the game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because, you know, special teams. But there's more times than you think that they're both on the sideline. And so sometimes you want to go over there and be like, dude.
What are you looking at?
Like, for real. Like, I got to have you make a play. And there's a time where I could go over and say that to Juice and say, listen, like, we got to flush that.
Yeah.
We got to score.
Right.
We got you on this side. I'm encouraging you, but, like, let me just tell you. And I don't berate people.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey bro, it's like third quarter. We got to stop turning over the ball. We'll get a stop, but we need you. That's called accountability.
Exactly.
Now, we were forbidden to talk to different teams, but trust me, that's going on. People are positive. I guarantee you. You know, if you're a defensive guy, he's making play after play, and you're out there after 2 plays, pick. After 3 plays, pick. You're out there. It's frustrating, right? Yeah. Whether they said something or not. And they know that. The same goes for the defense of like, hey, we're scoring points, but you just letting points. Oh, wait.
Right.
I don't mind if a quarterback comes over and says, dude, like, get a stop.
Right.
Like, I'm never mad if somebody just states the obvious to me and says, we got to be better.
Yeah, we got to be better.
You're a college football player, in this case, getting paid, some of these guys.
Well, right.
Right? It's like you got to be better at what you do. Now, here's what I'll say offensively that we had last year. Last year, if anything hit the fan, we always had Chase.
Yes, we did.
Right?
Yep.
There were a couple runs, and Manny Diaz, defensive corner for Penn State, is like this. He's a guy that attacks the middle of an offensive line and is going to make you run east and west and let his athletes catch up to you east and west on the edge. But you'll see a couple times we got the edge.
Yep.
A couple Reggie runs, did, right? Yep. Reggie got the edge. Now, Reggie doesn't quite have the wiggle that Chase Brown had that maybe make one guy miss. It was an 8-yard run, but could have been an 18, 28, 38-yard run, right? So I think when you look at that, we're missing that kind of what is our bell cow that we can go to no matter what.
That's
fair. We don't have that right now.
What does it say about Altmyer that he continued to pass? And I'm not saying negative, but I would assume, like, in other words, if that would have been me and I'm already thrown two interceptions and maybe even three at that point, I think in my mind, I'm like, I'm not throwing this ball again. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Or if I do, it's going to be the most safe pass to sure. Henry Boyer or Tip Ryman 5 feet from me. Otherwise, I'm not throwing it downfield. He did keep doing it.
Right.
So what does that tell you about him?
I think that's a good question. I think he's a guy that, number one, really trusts his arm too much.
Okay.
Okay, really trusts his arm. Number two, he wants to give his chance a team to win. He's not going to have a chance to win if you're not throwing the ball in there and making plays. Were they wise decisions? No. But, man, what I like about Altmyer is he does have an internal clock to get the ball out, right? He doesn't hold it for – we've all seen quarterbacks.
Oh,
like,
we've seen him.
I love Wes Lunt, but you just held the ball until he got sacked.
Brandon
right? just
Peters.
Held the ball. I like that Altmyer will get it out. I was talking about, hey, that third down to Griffin Moore – they had the right call. It was a corner route, a flat corner concept, meaning the linebacker's going to come up on the flat. It's going to be right outside and right before the safety on the corner route to Griffin. He had to throw it a half second too early. But he threw that ball where only Griffin had an outside chance to catch it or nobody else would. And he doesn't take the sack. That was one of his better plays. Now, I hate that we're in the stage of Illinois offense that's one of his better plays because they're like, it's damage control. It's not chunk play.
Right.
But that's what it is. It wasn't all bad, but man, that's probably as bad as we'll see Luke Altmyer play, right? And so it's like, but even that bad, you're in the game in the third quarter against probably the best team you're going to play on paper, offensively at least, in the conference.
I agree.
Before we get to your sponsors and catch a break here, we talked about Luke with the four turnovers. Josh McCray had one of his own. It was a pretty big one early in that game, and Josh has not looked that great, to be honest with you. And that's my opinion in general. Four carries, the volume was limited for him, but we know he's a different style back in terms of Reggie and wanted to see how that played out in terms of carries. What have you seen from Josh and how bad was that fumble?
Well, I have not seen the same Josh McCray since he got injured. Since he got injured last year, we don't think we've seen him play at the level as what he played as a freshman at over 500 yards rushing. He also has not been able – remember Chase was banged up 2 years ago when he got a lot more volume – Josh did. I mean, that Purdue game, he kind of had 15, 20 carries,
huge.
You know, 2 years ago. And he kind of got better as he got going. I don't see a lot of it. And I've talked about this. He's more of a 7-yard deep back, not a shotgun back, right?
You're right.
He's got to kind of get going. He doesn't accelerate great out of the hole. I mean, out of his stance. I thought Caden Fagan, who's built a little bit different, built similar, but has a little bit more acceleration and burst out of the hole, might take some carries. I think they need to work on, in regards to Josh McCray or anybody else, we got to work on getting the best 11 guys on the field kind of regardless of age, right? I think Malik Elzey's going to push for more reps. He has a different body type than receiver than what we've had as far as being big. I think Ashton Hollins made a good catch. He's got the length and speed that maybe we've been missing.
Yes.
I think Caden Fagan is a guy that you could possibly put in with Reggie Love and run as an H-back, tight end, fullback. I know it's a big load for a freshman, but kind of a flex player that you could max protect with him and do two-man routes or give him a handoff or have him lead for Reggie on some plays. So I think Loffrey's a change of pace. I think I saw Hank Beatty and Wiltshire in there as well. we're going to start seeing some of these guys because we're not getting the separation out of our skilled players that we necessarily need. We got to get our best 11 players out there and see what they can do. But as far as Josh McCray, I think he knows he wants to play better, and he just hasn't at this time. And I don't know how much of it is health. I mean, they said he's healthy. I just haven't seen that since his knee got hurt.
If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We're going to catch a break, but before we do, let's tell everybody about the sponsors that make this thing happen.
Yes, sir. Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all of your lending, whether that's owner-occupied homes, residential or commercial lending or commercial lines or credit. Got to talk to Mark Mahale, Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane. They got a great team. They are located at the Crossing at Windsor and Duncan in Champaign, and also on Neal Street, right by Savoy 16 in Savoy. And so check out Iroquois Federal. They do a bunch of loans for me, bunch of loans for my clients. They are awesome. Hey, if you need insurance, and almost everybody needs insurance, right? If you drive a car, you got to have insurance. You got a house, you got to have, you got a mortgage, you got to have insurance. You need health insurance, life insurance. Your guy to talk to was Kyle Lewis. That's Kyle at IPGINS.com for Insurance Providers Group. Kyle's my personal agent. He does all of my policies. And of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. in beautiful downtown Aslan. Let's say eclectic Gifford. Hello.
Once again, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I did want to read one before we catch a break. 217 says Saturday was already going to be like giving a giraffe a haircut, but when you turn it over five times, even taller task. Just half of the defense didn't get folded up like a fourth grade love note. Some good analogies in there.
I mean, he's really showing his age. No, fourth grade love note. I have a fourth grader now. They don't know how to fold love notes anymore. Those little triangle, the little triangle pieces and stuff like that. That's how you texted back
in the day.
Do they
even have a pen or a pencil at
school? No, everything's on the Chromebook now. My dad was talking to the grandkids. He's like, we see your books. Like, we don't have books. Like, you guys don't have books. He's like, what in the world?
Pull them out of school.
I remember my dad berating me when I was young, and my cursive was horrible. He's like, you don't even know how to write, son. What are you going to do when you grow older? I haven't used cursive in like 30 years, right? It was just, it's that the world is changing.
You got to take... You want to take typing now because you learn how to type.
Word processing.
Kids by 12 years old, they know how to type better than what we did at 30.
And they're just hitting Siri and saying, search for this, and it types it out, right? So it's all voice activated. Even the typing stuff is like, this little key, like, look how clunky this keyboard is compared to all the other stuff, right? So it's just, it's funny.
Send us a note. We'll get to it next week after the FAU game. Otherwise, text us. We'll get it immediately. 217-359-2255. It is The Drive.
When you've got an emergency, call Dogtown Heating and Air. Whether it's HVAC repair, plumbing repair, or choosing a new system for your home, Dogtown is here for you. They're an independently owned Lennox dealer, and they offer financing and repair for all makes and models. They also offer a maintenance program to protect and prolong the life of your equipment. Open 24/7 for your needs. Call Dogtown Heating and Air at 217-841-4728. That's 841-4728. Online at dogtownheatingandair.com.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. Want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Hey, my name is Josh Morford. I'm the youth minister at Muhammad Christian Church, and I want to inform you of something awesome that's going to be happening on September 22nd after the homecoming Muhammad Seymour Bulldog football game. Our church is going to be hosting something called the Fifth Quarter. What Fifth Quarter is it is a safe, fun environment for your middle school or high school student to come and have something fun to do after the football game. Our church is going to be providing food. We're going to have gift card giveaways. We're going to have things like inflatables and nine square and Gaga ball set up. We're going to have some different kind of games. If those aren't your speed, we're going to have lots of awesome adult volunteers there to keep your kids safe. Let them have a really great time. And that party is going to go from the end of the game until 11:15. We would love to see you. Go Bulldogs.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Party at Pia's Friday before our Illini game on Saturday. Join us after 3 with prizes to sign up for, like Illini jerseys, tickets to the game. See the Bullet Woody tailgate wagon with $5 shots of Bullet Rye and Bourbon. This teardrop camper folds out on the Pia's patio for the ultimate party experience as you get the latest game details from Derek Piper and myself with our live show from 3 to 5. On the drive, Pia's 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Getting back to the Jay Layman Hour, but first, I got to tell you about Busey. All you need is love and financial intimacy before you walk down the aisle. Busey suggests getting a solid financial footing. Their experts suggest the following tips for financial intimacy. Will you and your spouse-to-be keep finances separate or combined? Consider individual spending and saving habits. Make this decision together. We'll help you find a system that works. Couples that tackle money problems together and take responsibility for solving them will find that their relationship is better for it. Share credit. Let your spouse-to-be know your credit situation and vice versa. Marrying a person with bad credit will not drag down your own credit score, but their credit will be factored in when applying for joint financing. There's a thing called Cupid's arrow. Develop a plan to shoot down existing debt. Start with your balances that carry the highest interest rates and set goals and be diligent in reaching them. You can talk about all of this and more with Busey's associates at their very convenient locations, or you can go online to Busey.com. Once again, that's Busey.com, or stop by their convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC. Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Lante, Jay Layman. We got a few weighing in on the U of I Illini Link text line. Let's get to some of those before we ask some more of our own questions to Jay. I'll start here. Simple but maybe complicated answer for Jay. How close should I be to the ledge, Jay? You can call me Sal S.
I don't think you should be that close to the ledge.
I agree.
I'm not that worried. Guys, I think Brett and Brad are the two transfers that we just can't have. That'd be Brett Underwood and Brett Bielema. Yep. As long as those guys are here, we're going to be okay. Okay. Yep. Brett's got under control. That's the toughest team we're going to play all year. Probably the best team offensively. Maybe Maryland can sling it like them.
I agree.
A little bit, right? I know Purdue can sling a little bit, but we're going to be okay. I was way more worried after Kansas because we weren't physical up front. I was worried against Toledo. We weren't physical up front. If we can get that fixed, I think we can get there. We got a quarterback that had a bad game. It's not ledge time yet. I know Lon's been to the ledge many times.
There's no doubt. And I'm actually not even close to the ledge. And I truly mean that.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of what they've played thus far. Now, I know how they've played has been a little damaging. And I agree with you on Kansas, but last year you told us after Indiana that you still thought this team could win the West, and I think it was because you saw how physical they were
right
up front. So
right,
that's what you always look for, right, is kind of the idea of can we dominate up front, which going into the season we thought we could.
Listen, go look at who's in the college football playoff and look who's on their D-line. It's going to be all NFL draft picks.
Yeah.
So Georgia, Alabama always, yep, right? Yep. I mean, Clemson. Ohio State, Clemson. Clemson. They've got. Wasn't Shaq Barrett a guy who was from Clemson? I think he was Shaq.
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe Shaq Clausen was from there. But I said Shaq Barrett because he's the guy who picked off the pass for the Bears.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Just another reminder.
So here's the thing: the skill guys will lie to you. They'll lie to you during a play, and they'll be great some days, and they'll be bad the next. Linemen are so consistent, right? If you have a defense and a good offensive line, you can play. Now, I have not seen this offensive line play good enough to think that we can win the Big Ten West, even in a, should I say, bad division.
Yeah, that's, right? I'm glad you're going there because I wanted to ask
you that. It's a bad division.
Mm-hmm.
People thought that Fickell and Matt Rhule were going to turn these things around right away. No, they're not, right? Nebraska's a total rebuild. Wisconsin's a little bit ahead of them, right? I think Purdue's offensively has some weapons, but defensively they got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Northwestern's garbage. I mean, that's what it is. Iowa, right? They're gonna score good. Two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
So all of these things are part of it. I see us being in the division. I can see us, splitting, going 3-3 right now, the way we're playing. I think we'll win three, lose three. In the division.
Right.
We have a crossover with Indiana, a crossover with Maryland, which I think the Maryland game is kind of a toss-up.
That's going to be
We should beat Indiana, but we should have beat them last year, and we didn't. So that's what I feel we're at. If we make improvements, I think the next 2 weeks tell us a lot. If we can take care of business at FAU and then beat a Purdue team we haven't beat the last 2 years, we could be 3-2 going into October. And you're like, well, wait, we're 1-1 in the conference. Our crossovers aren't that tough. We can beat the – we're right there, but we're not there yet as a football team the way we're playing. When I saw the way we played against Indiana, I thought this team can win the West. I haven't seen that kind of domination.
That's fair.
Offensively, Jay, people have given Barry Lunny a decent amount of criticism. You've mentioned it, though. He's not been able to get into his stuff based on game script. And I don't think it was a bad game plan going into Penn State because you just turned the ball over too much.
Right.
But how would you kind of evaluate what he's trying to do and what this offense still can accomplish if he gets his plan to work?
We're stuck in neutral the first two games. I mean, sometimes backwards. And you can say it's a slow start and you get to the game plan. That goes on the offensive coordinator. It goes on the offensive coordinator that we, turned over the ball three or four times because he's in charge of the offense. I mean, I know that players are making plays, right? If we're going to praise them when they do good, we've got to praise them when they do bad. But I kind of feel like the offense and the whole Illini team is like, when like your mom packs you a lunch and she forgets like your chips. She gives you the sandwich and like it's like, Mom, you forgot the chips. It's like we brought the defense, but we had no offense last game.
No.
Kansas, we had, some offensive playmaking a little bit from Luke Altmyer, but the sandwich was lost because the defense was gone. Like, Mom, I just had chips. I had no sandwich, right? We haven't packed a full lunch, right?
I agree.
At all. I mean, Kansas probably just stole our lunch money anyway. We never even packed our lunch, right? I mean, they put 500-some yards up on us, right? We have not put something together. I think Barry Lunny's has not executed a full game plan. I'm not necessarily mad about it. I'm just saying with the quarterback that we have and the offensive line that we have not seen the offense play to the standard we need to win games, and everybody knows that.
Yes.
I'm not calling for anybody's job or anything. I'm just saying, hey, he knows they got to play better. I think Barry Lunny showed what he can do at UTSA. I think they were vastly improved last year. We got a new quarterback. It's having some growing pains.
Go ahead.
We did have Adam on the U of I Atlanta League text line say, why go with Paddock? Why not give Leary some reps when the game's out of hand? Transfer risk if he doesn't get reps this year.
Okay, great question. I hate those. I hate that it's a transfer risk after if I don't get in for 2 years. But that is where we're at. I think it's a fair point. The last three seasons, we've had the first team quarterback go down, especially the last two seasons.
Yes, we have.
So Brandon Peters goes out, Sitkowski has to come in. Last year, DeVito went out in the Iowa game. Mm-hmm. We had to have gives you the best chance to win now, right? Sitkowski came in. I think it's John Paddock, according to what the coaches saw after that first series. I wasn't sure. It was a little bit all over the place, right?
My goodness.
Boy, that was rough. I mean, word roller coasters at Great America are rough a little bit. I was on American Eagle with my son. I was like, wow, that was a headache waiting to happen. Never want to do that, right? I go with a Batman smooth ride. It was like riding a wood roller coaster.
My neighbor at the game. My neighbor at the game and I at the same, after Paddock threw his first pass that looked like it was 28 yards offline, we didn't say a word and we both just kind of looked over at each other and we both started laughing. I was like, what was that?
No, it was almost like, what's going on? We ended the game 10 for 16,
yeah.
Got comfortable, right, and made some plays. So I feel better about Paddock. He's got a lot of experience and that's the one thing he's got over Altmyer. And he's got good bloodlines. He's got everything else, right? Like Brett said, he can run the ball. He's a good athlete. But he got to play better than that first series.
Right.
But obviously they've seen something that if something happens, he gives them the best chance to win.
If you were somebody on the outside and you were staring in at this Illinois team and you knew that they lost four secondary guys, three to the league.
Sure.
You lost a running back that was just drafted sixth, not overall, but in the sixth round. You don't have a quarterback that had one of the best seasons an Illinois quarterback's had in a long time. You're redoing your offensive line a bit with basically two new starters, but kind of shuffling it around. You know what you got on that defensive line. If you're someone that doesn't really care if Illinois wins a game, and then you look at a Toledo team that's 3-0, albeit they struggled this week to win that game, a Kansas team who's 3-0, albeit they only won by a touchdown, which was kind of strange, and then a Penn State team that's ranked now sixth, I think, or seventh in the country. From the outside looking in, probably you're going to say this team's going to be 1-2 going into Florida Atlantic, which is exactly where they're at. How, though, where does it go from there? Like, in other words, how worrisome in the sense of how we got here are you? Or I'll be honest, and this is so weird for me, but I just think, okay, now you get to 2-2, now you start Big Ten West play, and I think you're as good as anybody in the West.
Absolutely.
So and we said going into the season, there's going to be a lot of toss-up games. I think you beat Nebraska. I think you beat Minnesota. In fact, in maybe having one too many, my son and I bet a paycheck on Illinois beating Minnesota and Nebraska. He goes, I'll take that bet any day.
Wow.
So I took it. So I'm like, now I'm on the line for a paycheck. I didn't tell him I was going to give him the radio one. but we'll go from there later. But, you know, in other words, when you look at this, I think somebody that was maybe not an Illinois fan would say, well, you're going to be 1-2. How do you look at it from there? Like, have we shown not enough to where all of a sudden you're like, I don't know that we can beat Minnesota and Nebraska?
We had a stretch of games last year that got all of our expectations just wound up. When we won 3 in a row between Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, I think people thought, dude, it's 1983. The 80s belong to the Illini. We're back, right? And I think we had a good stretch, but I don't think we've arrived yet. We're still building as a program. This is why Brett gets paid the big bucks. He's got to figure this out. Lunny's gets paid the big bucks too. He's got to figure this out, right? So they've got to figure out, okay, who are our best 11? What didn't we do well? What do we like to do? And we got to fix this before conference play. I think they're as good as anybody in the West, depending on how they play. Because like sometimes they play bad, they pack the whole lunch like we're talking about. So I'm not necessarily too worried about it. I said this to Champagne Rotary. God bless their souls. Said, what are you thinking about the team? I said, I feel positive about it, but they could be 1-3 or 2-2 at the end of September.
Yeah.
I guess the September game, after the first four games, because they play a fifth game in September, I believe, against Purdue, September 30th.
It's a 2:30 kickoff now, 2:30. By the way, they announced.
You know, when you get put in that 2:30 slot, it's the no man's land. That's because teams have been losing, right? You get 2 1-2 teams, right?
And it's on Peacock, by the way.
On Peacock. Oh, get your streaming services.
Mom will be watching them.
$6. $5.99 to join Peacock. No thanks. I'll just listen to it.
You know, what's so bad is they're like, hey, we're going to do these streaming services when Netflix came out. It's like, great, I'm down. Then it's like, well, Apple's going to do it. Now Disney Plus is going to do it. And, you know, because we had these cable bundles that we can only watch three channels on, right? Yeah. It was 250 channels. I watched three of them. And like, oh, let's get rid of this. So let's just buy $11 for this and 10. Now I'm back with all my streaming services back to more than I was paying for the bundle.
Exactly.
Comcast, where are you at?
That's right.
We hated you, but now you're back. Okay.
Is there any reason to worry about Florida Atlantic?
Yeah. I think, first of all, Tom Herman's a good coach. You didn't get to Texas without being a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Won a national championship with Ed Warner, his former offensive coordinator at Ohio State, also offensive line coach at Illinois back in the day, 05 and 06. Cool Ed Warner story. He calls me up. He's like, hey, you got a truck, right? I'm like, yeah, I got a truck. This is like when I'm a junior in college. He's like, can I use it for you? You know, can I use it? Yeah. I couldn't get compensated at all. But if your coach says, can I use your truck? What are you going to say? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I couldn't even get paid for that. But anyway, Ed Warner used my truck one time. He's going to be calling plays this week. Just so you know, that one was for free. But you know what they're going to do. They're going to run the same offense that Ohio State ran in 2014, won the national championship. They run a lot of counter plays that Zeke was really good at. Zeke Elliott. We ran for 250 against Alabama. And then they're going to spread it out and throw the football. If you look at who FAU, UCF, and South Florida have beaten as far as Power 5 teams last decade, the list is pretty extensive. Those teams beat a lot of good football teams because they got talent down there. So I think anytime I don't know why you would ever schedule UCF, a South Florida, or FAU. I think it's a bad scheduling thing because these teams beat people all the time. So I'm concerned about that. I think we're better. They lost their quarterback. I heard Casey Thompson got hurt. I just heard that.
That would help.
Someone came up to me. I get news like I'm sitting at like this at Harvest Market. People's like, hey, he goes, that FAU quarterback got hurt. I'm like, cool. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, so I heard that he's banged up. I've not verified that, but it's a game we should win. But how many games have we should have won that we haven't won over the years against non-Power 5 teams?
I agree. That Purdue game.
It's going to be spicy.
It's a big one. Purdue defensively is looking a little dicey.
And I'm not looking past, obviously, Florida Atlantic for every reason.
Yeah,
Jay just mentioned.
But Purdue, they give up 195 yards rushing to a quarterback.
Did.
25 carries, four rush TDs. And if they weren't TDs, he would have ran for another 30 yards because nobody there. You can't play man coverage and not have some kind of eyes on the quarterback at all. Ryan Walters loves to play man coverage. It helps when you got a great defensive line that can, you know, can corral the quarterback in a, you know, a first-round corner as well that can just erase a receiver from a game, as we saw Trey Palmer get erased last year when they played Nebraska. I don't think he has that. I think he's going to do fine there, but Purdue's a team that we always circle that we should beat.
Yep.
That we don't.
Yeah.
Right? Because we had that lower-tier Big Ten teams like, oh, we should beat Minnesota. That's a game we should win. In the words of the great Don Harden, if you see no patsy on your schedule, you are the patsy, right?
That is true.
Let's catch one more break. Jay hit us with the sponsors one more time.
Yeah, buddy.
And then before, on the other side, a big game, Purdue-Wisconsin, that we should learn a decent amount about. Mm. Ohio State's got a huge one in South Bend. I want to ask you about a couple of those. And if you want to hit us on the text line for some more questions, 217-359-2255. But those that make this happen, Jay.
Yeah, Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all your lending, commercial lines of credit, or residential lending. They are the place to go. Talk to Bob Guido. Bob has done more loans for me. You got to go to Iroquois Federal, located in Savoy and Champaign. Mark McHale, Ryan Lowry, of course, Brenda Crane for your residential needs. But you need a business loan. Bob Guido is the way to go for all your business loans. Insurance Providers Group, Kyle Lewis. Kyle at ipginis.com, auto, home, life, health. He's your way to go. Habitational insurance as well. That's for your rental properties. I use it for all of those. Kyle Lewis is the man. And Long Branch Steakhouse for all your steakhouse needs. I love the fried pickles. You got to try the fried pickles when you go there. My kids love it. The fried mushrooms, they're not a big fan of those, but I like those. They like the mac and cheese. Let's go.
Thanks to Heath for texting this in on the U of I line. Like, text line just confirmed it with a report from ESPN. Casey Thompson has torn his ACL. He is out for the year. So Illinois kind of needing a break in that early part of the schedule, may have caught one with FAU's quarterback being out.
You hate to get a break like that, but hey, we'll take any break we can get.
I'm telling you, you've played three really good opponents. So it'll be nice to play.
I love this text message from 217-822-3624. Jay works with the Big Ten Network, and he gets his information at the grocery store. That's why I trust him. Truly, I do. Listen, I work in media, and I distrust a lot of the media. So there you go. Only what you hear at the grocery store. I was walking along Harvest Market. This guy said, hey, you're the quarterback for FAU. I said, I hadn't heard that. But I guess it must be true. Verified the sources.
Oh, my goodness.
We trust no one to spam that number that Jay just gave out. So we appreciate you. You got to catch your break. We'll finish up the show with Jay.
They've forgotten
it already. This is The Drive.
A biker, a Baptist minister, a Catholic priest, a veteran, and a farmer walk into a trucking company. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the diversification of the driver force at Gale Frerichs Trucking. At GFT, we welcome all qualified Class A CDL holders. So if you have 2 years of experience or less with military service, a clean driving record, and a positive work ethic, we want you to fill one of our three open regional van positions today. You will have every weekend at home and earn the money to enjoy it with our $1,200 weekly gross pay guarantee, in addition to all the other great advantages GFT offers. During the month of September, we are paying a $4,000 sign-on bonus to experienced drivers that want to work for a company that works as hard for them as they work for us. Call 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Join Urbana Park District for Climate Action Week, October 1st through 8th. We all can help take care of the environment. Be sure to join us at Crystal Lake Park Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. for a celebration of the environment that will feature live music, guided hikes, and more in partnership with the Champaign County Climate Coalition. Call 217-384-4062 for more information or follow the Park District on Facebook and Twitter.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Finishing up the Jay Layman Hour here on The Drive with Tay and Piper. Derek Piper, Lonte, Jay Layman. Big Def is... hit us up on the U of I Line League text line. Got to get Jay at least one of his questions. We appreciate him as a loyal listener. He goes, Luke had a terrible day with two of his four INTs being solely unforced errors, but show me 24 quarterback pressures, two of the only three sacks coming from the blind side. Luke trying to do too much is probably the reason we didn't have 14 sacks and our starter being out with injured the next week. I guess, Jay, your thoughts on that, and it, the underlying issue is how much of a problem do you think the O-line still is?
It hasn't played at the level we thought they were going to play.
No.
At. And part of that is they're playing musical chairs a little bit. You know, Isaiah Adams is a true road grader guard. Now we got him moved out to tackle.
Right.
Chrysler struggled at tackle, feels more comfortable at guard. Kreutz and Geske haven't played a ton.
Mm-mm.
He's got brand new starters. We've had some good centers over here over the last couple of years. You know, I mean, Kendrick Green played some at center. He went moved over to guard, but also Doug Kramer. Pilstrom was solid,
yep.
Right? And so Julian Pearl, I know he had a banged up hand. He's actually been solid, the left tackle, but we're kind of playing musical chairs. I mean, you look at those four, those left guard, right tackle. We've had a bunch of different positions. We're not really getting the push or the protection that we want. We're just a lot. There's a big drop off between the first and second team D line and first and second team O line.
Yeah.
We've got a big, I know Jordan Slaughter's kind of the super sub, but we don't have a ton of depth. That's something we're still building.
How hard is that to get that depth? I mean, if you feel like you've been talking about it
right
for three, four, whatever years.
Oh, like I said, we're deeper, right? We used to have the sandbox depth like I talked
that
about,
is
right?
True. That is true.
We're not quite Mariana Trench depth like Ohio State where they just reload. We're somewhere in between.
Yes.
You know, we've got some decent depth, but as far as some of those positions for defensive linemen, nobody has as many defensive linemen as they want to have, unless
right,
you're Georgia
right,
or Alabama.
Right.
You can always have more of those. But offensive linemen, it always seems at Illinois, and maybe this is the truth for every team, we have a key injury at a bad spot on
yep.
the offense, and it affects everything.
Yep.
So that's happening again this year. Obviously, we've been banged up a little bit. Chrysler wasn't great at tackle, and Isaiah Adam had to go out of the game, and he came back. So I don't know how healthy he actually is. We know that the hand of Julian Pearl's banged up, so I don't know how healthy we are up there.
Yeah, I agree.
Teased it before the break. Purdue hosts Wisconsin Friday night. What do you think about that one?
Well, both of them have been pretty underwhelming when you watch them. I thought that Purdue was better than they showed against Syracuse after they beat Virginia Tech. Then I saw Virginia Tech get blasted by Rutgers. So either Rutgers is really good and Virginia Tech's really bad. I don't know. Wisconsin's kind of an anomaly. This is a team that's really trying to transition from a run game team that has been recruited to specifically run the football in power formations to an air raid under Phil Longo.
Yeah.
So they've had some issues on that. Gave up a bunch of yards versus Georgia Southern, right? And Clay Helton's a good coach, good offensive mind for sure. But they give it like 383 yards passing to Georgia Southern. I think Hudson Carve's going to carve them up for some passing yards. But I don't think defensively, at least right now, Purdue's going to actually win this game or be able to contain that run game. And so I'm going to give the nod to Luke Fickell with just the experience as a head coach, first conference game. I think Luke Fickell's going to get it cleaned up. I don't think Wisconsin's phenomenal by any means. It's just a totally different Wisconsin team when you watch them than what we're used to.
Yep.
Ohio State was not impressive in the opener against Indiana. They returned to Big Ten. Or no, they will next week, but they have a big one against Notre Dame. They're a short favorite on the road in South Bend. What do you think about that one?
You know, I will say this about Ohio State. So the first two games, they had teams in Youngstown State and Indiana that really tried to shorten the game. Ball control, keep it away from the offense, and they only scored 35, 40 points. And Ryan Day was quoted as saying, you know, out of nine possessions, which is not a lot, we had five touchdowns. I wish we had six or seven. Well, Western Kentucky, you know, is a team that wants to score as much. They've scored as much as anybody over the last 3 or 4 years in football, the way they run offensively. But they give the ball back quick. They had like 14, 15 possessions. They put up 60 points, right? So offensively, I think they've got the weapons at receiver. I think they run the ball. I think Kyle McCord is average when it comes to Ohio State quarterbacks. I think Sam Hartman's really good for Notre Dame. 120 pass TDs in a career.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we had a guy who threw for 120 pass TDs in a career?
That's a lot.
I'll give the...
Wonder how many Kittner finished with.
I'll get... 50?
I mean, not that many.
Yeah, no.
50 or 60?
I mean,
60? I mean, his great year, that junior year, when I think he was like 27 TD passes and like six interceptions. It was
Kyle's
a good year.
Efforting it. He's efforting Kurt Kittner career.
Can find that out. You know, he's like our Joe Rogan guy. Who's he's like, yeah, hey, flip me this up, right? Whoever that is. But anyway, I would say I give the edge to Ohio State in that game, even though Ohio State is not the same level that we've seen the years prior because the quarterback play is not there.
One more I wanted to ask you about. A lot of fans hoped that Penn State was overlooking Illinois towards the whiteout against Iowa. Well, they come away victorious, and now they have the Hawkeyes coming out to State College.
I would say if this was at Kinnick, I think it's an even game because Iowa just destroys top 10 teams in Kinnick.
They do.
But usually in November when it gets cold, when they've gotten better throughout this, they always start slow. They're always chugging along, right? I think Cade McNamara's average. I think under that offensive system, they've tried to go deep, but again, they're not getting a ton of yards. They've had like more wins in the country of any other team that has 250 yards or less. That's Iowa football. I don't think they're able to score enough points to keep up with Penn State, even how good that defense is, unless they get two defensive touchdowns or special teams play to kind of stay in it. I think Penn State boat races them.
Kittner finished with 70.
70,
which
was
still better than I thought, but when you consider how much. All right, here's my final question then. What would you ask Luke Altmaier, who's going to join us starting next hour?
That's a great question. Luke, you threw two picks in the first quarter. What did you say to yourself after that? What went through your head that you said, okay, I've thrown two picks in this first quarter. How do I respond? I always want to get in the head of a high-level athlete, because I think that's going to tell you a lot about how they're going to lead that football team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would ask him that. I do think Luke's a guy that's going to learn from it. I think he's had a lot of moxie, a lot of poise other than this game. And I think his ceiling is higher than Tommy DeVito's. It's not there yet.
Yes.
But I think he can win some games here at Illinois. We've got 3 years with him if we want to keep developing that. And I think he can build some chemistry with receivers. Mm-hmm. I think we're missing some chemistry. We're missing some separation. You mentioned them back shoulder fades. They just don't seem like they're in sync on
the
back shoulder fade. They don't seem like it's working together. I think that is reps. I think that's working all spring, working all summer for multiple years.
Jay, this was the sponsors one more time because this Monday is a treat, even coming off losses, to really dive in.
Amen.
We are due for a win to talk about, which hopefully we'll next Monday, but let us know as we go out. Who makes it happen?
Yeah, Iroquois Federal, they're your one-stop shop for all your lending. IPG Insurance Group, Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPGINS.com. And, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. Hey, go to Gifford, have yourself a steak Wednesday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Keep picking up those tidbits out in the public.
Guys, I vetted my news source through Harvest Market. Some random guy in a Cardinals hat like, hey, did you see that?
Ha 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 ha. Well, you can trust the Cardinals fans because they're not watching baseball. They're all tuned in on football now.
They got nothing better to do than to watch everything but Cardinals baseball.
You know, I guess that's true.
Great stuff as always, Jay.
All right, Jay. See you, fellas.
All right, when we return, as Lon mentioned, we will have Atlanta starting quarterback Luke Altmyer on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Now get out of here. I see the phone ringing. It is The Drive.
BC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.